It's the Wax Midwest Farm Report podcast with Joe Welke, Kristen Smith, and me, Bob Bosold. Wax 104.5 on a Tuesday morning. He must have an old John Deere. We used to crank that bugger, put a crescent wrench in the flywheel, and fire it up. If you didn't park it on a hill, that's what you had to do. She cranks my tractor on a Tuesday morning at Wax. Hey, good morning. Shank of the day, baby. It's chore time. Bob with it. Jill is off on vacation this week. She's got a bunch of calves coming this week at the Welke Land and Cattle Company, and she thought she should be home to kind of look after the operation in this time of giving birth in the beef industry. So hopefully that goes well. And if you're doing the same thing, hopefully it's going well for you. Weather should be pretty decent for calving. Temperatures, for the most part, in the 40s around here for, well, at least through next Sunday. I know down in the southern part of the area, it's going to be in the 50s some days this week. So not too bad as we officially, I guess, now get into spring. I think, yesterday or today, the first day of spring, whatever it is, it's not too bad. But Mother Nature is not done with us yet, I am sure. Nothing in the forecast, but been around here long enough to think about what it's all about weather-wise. Hey, today is a big day for agriculture. It is the 50th anniversary of National Agriculture Day. Yep, a day to honor our, thank our farmers for their ability to produce for both their country and the world. They've done it for a long time, and they will continue to do that. Also, lots of things going on around the area as far as nominations and different boards and different panels that you might want to serve on. March 31st is the deadline, and today is the 21st, so again, just 10 days to get some of those nominations in. We'll talk about that as well as we go along this morning. And we'll take a look at other things going on the calendar. We also get into this season where they're making a mad scramble to get farmers to do some paperwork and do some things at the computer, because everybody knows when the weather breaks, it is going to be no time to fill out forms. We're going to be in the fields. So again, we'll talk about some of those things. If you're involved in those parts of the agricultural industry, we'll talk about that. And again, Wisconsin Badger basketball tonight. They're out in Oregon, National Invitation Tournament. I was down in Madison over the weekend, so I went to the game on Sunday at the Kohl Center. First time I'd been there in a few years, so it was kind of good to get in there, especially since the Badgers won. And unfortunately, Marquette lost to Michigan State in the NCAA tournament, so the Badgers, the only team around here that's still playing. So hopefully they'll do well tonight out in Oregon. A long flight, long ride. Hey, we've got weather that we said not too bad. Looks like it's going to be in the 40s for the next days.
The crack of dawn never sounded so good. Wax 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
Weather not too bad. A chance of precipitation today. And again, it depends on how far north you are in the listening area, because down south of us, they're going to get into the 50s today. I know Madison, Milwaukee, maybe around the Dells. So again, depending on which way you're going, precipitation, it's not going to be a lot, but there'll be some falling. So just be aware of that. And breezy today. Overnight, 42, so the high today. Overnight, about 27. Tomorrow, 41. Again, cloudy, a chance of some, you know, scattered precipitation tomorrow with a high of 41. Then 40 on Thursday, 46, 47, 48 for Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. It's 25 right now here in the Eau Claire Chippewa Falls area. Hey, it's about a minute after 5. This is 104.5 FM, WAXX Eau Claire. Let's get some news.
NBC News Radio, I'm Mark Mayfield. The Secret Service and New York police are coordinating security plans for when and if former President Trump is arrested. Multiple reports say the agencies discussed logistics on Monday, including how Trump would potentially surrender. A Manhattan grand jury has been investigating the former president for his alleged role in a hush money payment to adult film star Stormy Daniels ahead of the 2016 election. On social media over the weekend, Trump claimed he would be arrested on Tuesday and called for protests. New York City Mayor Eric Adams has said he's confident the city is prepared for any protests. President Biden has signed legislation to declassify information related to the origins of COVID-19. Brian Shook reports.
He put pen to paper on Monday after the measure was passed unanimously in Congress. In a statement, Biden highlighted the importance of getting to the bottom of COVID-19's origins to help ensure we can better prevent future pandemics. Earlier this year, reports citing classified intelligence said the Department of Energy concluded with low confidence that the pandemic was likely due to a lab leak in China. The White House denied that there was any clear consensus. I'm Brian Shook.
J.P. Morgan Chase can be sued by the U.S. Virgin Islands and women accusing the late investor Jeffrey Epstein of sexual abuse. Lisa Taylor has more.
That's what a New York federal judge has ruled. Lawsuits claim the bank knowingly benefited from Epstein's sex trafficking scheme. The judge also allowed parts of a separate lawsuit against Deutsche Bank to move forward. Epstein killed himself in 2019 while awaiting trial on federal child sex trafficking charges. I'm Lisa Taylor.
And the White House is urging China's president to meet with Ukrainian President Zelensky. National Security Spokesman John Kirby says the U.S. is hoping Chinese President Xi Jinping will press Russian President Vladimir Putin to halt the war in Ukraine and withdraw all his troops. You're listening to the latest from NBC News Radio.
Wax 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
Once again, not too bad. We're officially into spring now, I guess. I don't know. Meteorological spring, for whatever that means. But again, chance of precipitation today and kind of a breezy day as well. Farther north you go, chance it'll be some snow flurries. Down south, probably more rain as they're looking to get around low 50s parts of the southern part of the state, southern part of our listening area. We're going to be about 40 around here tonight, 27. 41 tomorrow, cloudy again, more of that mixed precipitation for Wednesday, then just partly cloudy Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, temperatures into the 40s. Right now, Rice Lake 23, Hayward is 18, Neillsville's 26, La Crosse 34, Madison 33, Milwaukee 35. Right now in the Eau Claire Chippewa Falls area, we're 25 degrees.
Feeding information to the folks who feed you. Wax 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
And we'll have the Wax Farm Truck on the road today, heading up to Medford to talk to Lisa Kopp and her students up at Medford High School with the FFA chapter and that special agricultural education facility they have, a good place to be on this National Agriculture Day. So we'll be taking our Midwest Family Wax Farm Truck on the road again today. Put a lot of miles on it, bugger. All right, let's take a look at our markets courtesy of Rural Mutual Insurance as we get started in the new week. Choice fed beef steers and heifers both trading 157 to 170. Mixed steers and heifers 102 to 156. Choice fed Holstein steers 135 to 148. Select and choice silage fed Holsteins 121 to 134. Cow market, 78 to 116. The bulls, 91 to 115. Now, the butcher hog market, the latest market we have on the hogs, 50 to 77 on the butchers. Sows, 58.5 and down. Boars, 18 to 25. Unshorn market lambs, 141 to 152. With the feeder lambs, 167 to 280. Mercantile exchange yesterday to open the week. Livestock futures lower across the board. April live cattle, 162.02, that's down 30. June, 155.52, down 87 cents. August live cattle, 155.75, down 65. And October at 160.82, down 52. Feeder cattle for April, 194.62, down 2 cents. May down 80 at 199.15. August down 60 at 214.70. And September feeder cattle closed at 218 even. That's down 35. Lean hogs for April, 77.77, down 210. May at 85.15, down 162. June, 91.87, down 145. July also down 145 at 94.17. On the Board of Trade yesterday, corn was down, still concerned about the financial markets. Beans were up on that China sales of last week and also some strength in bean oil. Overnight, July corn unchanged at 6.15 a bushel. The oats up 3 at 3.56. July wheat up a fraction at 7.09. July soybeans down a penny at 14.65. And meal up 30 cents a ton at $456 even. Barrel and black cheese both traded 0.75 cents lower yesterday. Barrels 1.95 1/4. The blocks $1.99, and butter up a penny at $2.41 a pound. Class 3 for March, 18.05, down 2. April, 19.02, down 15. May, down 35 at 18.51. June, down 36 at 18.64. July, down 29 at 19.03, as those Class 3 prices were lower out through December. 9.5 minutes after 5 o'clock, and we've got some farm news, a lot of information to get to. We're going to talk to our 3rd District Congressman, Derek Van Orden. He's on the House Agriculture Committee. We'll get an update what's going on there as we look at some of our farm news this morning on WAC.
Keeping it rural, WAC 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
There's activity in the House Agriculture Committee. We're going to find out what they are doing. 3rd District Congressman Derek Van Orden is with us. And Congressman, I know Mr. Thompson has called hearings all over the country. He's held them in Washington, D.C., looking mainly at the farm bill. Give us an idea of the progress you're making and what are the discussions so far as that farm bill is concerned.
So we did a big listening session in Pennsylvania, one in Chicago. Guys are going down to Texas coming up here this week, and then we're going to do one in the district at some point in the future. And what we're doing is we're going around and we're finding out, hey, what was good about the last farm bill and what needs improvement. So we're in this assessment phase right now. And we're hearing a lot of the same stuff around the country. The input costs are up. Labor is a very, very big issue. And these regulations that the Biden administration is imposing on our farmers are really hurting. And I'll tell you, we're making progress here in the House of Representatives. We did one that was mostly just Republicans, but then we also, I introduced a bipartisan bill. So the one that was real partisan, the Republicans were focused on, is the Biden administration was proposing making some changes to the Waters of the United States Act. And what that would have done, it would have made 85% of the 3rd Congressional District subject to regulatory control of the EPA. And I'm going to say that again because that number is so huge, you can't even think about it. 85% of the 3rd Congressional District, the EPA could have gone and taken charge of it. That tells you you can build here, you can't build there, you've got to get rid of your retaining pond. You can have a ditch here, you can't have one there. And it would have been devastating economically for our district, but more importantly, because farmers are great stewards of the land. What it would have done is that our folks that do have retention ponds to catch agricultural runoff, which is water and the nutrients and nitrogen and phosphorus, they would get rid of these retention ponds because they'd be regulated by the EPA, and if they didn't do something just exactly how they wanted them, they would fine them. And so what that means is, all these retention ponds that are catching all this agricultural runoff and they're reusing the nutrients to help lower the input costs and re-irrigating with the same water, that would run right into all the creeks. It would go right into the watershed and wind up in the Mississippi River. And we don't want that. And everybody that has ever planted anything in the ground knows that if you abuse that ground, it's not going to work out. So I'm very proud to be a sponsor of the bill that we removed the ability for the EPA to impose those new rules.
The Clean Water Act, Congressman, has been a bone of contention between Republicans and Democrats almost since the beginning of time. Why can't we come together, Republicans and Democrats, because, you know, if you float a boat in it for one day, it's a water of the USA, which doesn't make any sense, but then we don't want to have direct pollution into our waters from some of our factories, which the Democrats don't like. Why can't we come together and get something that's common sense?
Well, because unfortunately, folks on the other side of the aisle politicize this issue. And I'm not all right with that. Listen, I introduced a bipartisan bill for dairy yesterday. It's out there. It's going to the other person that sponsored it from the Senate is Tammy Baldwin. There's two Democrats, Angie Craig from Minnesota, right across the river, and Joe Courtney, from a Democrat from Connecticut, that joined me introducing this bill. So we can work in a bipartisan manner. When things go squirrely, it's because they become very partisan for political reasons. The Clean Water Act was a good thing. The pollution was rampant. There was not enough, at one point, regulation in the country. I mean, the rivers used to light on fire, for Pete's sakes, when I was growing up in the 70s. So that's good. But when you start imposing these incredibly ambiguous rules that turn literally a retention pond into a navigable waterway subject to inspection by the federal government, that is a bridge too far.
Derek Van Orden, our 3rd District Congressman, and again, some of the things they're looking at as far as the Waters of the USA rule, and we do have an update on the Waters of the USDA, or Waters of the USA that we will get to, because a very important issue, obviously, the Waters of the USA. And we'll get more of our conversation with Congressman Van Orden on the air in the future, because we covered various topics with him. And we'll get to those as we move forward. 16 minutes after 5 o'clock, what is that update on the Waters of the USA? I'll tell you next.
Wax 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
Once again, we're about 25 degrees around here, looking for a high about 40 today. Chance of precipitation and breezy conditions out there as well tonight. And again, mixed precipitation. The farther south you go, it's going to be rain. They're going to be on in the 50s down south today. Well, speaking of the Waters of the USA rule, and again, what is it going to be and who's going to make a final decision? We don't know. But a lot of farm groups are unhappy with our court systems right now, especially down south. That's because the Waters of the USA rule did take effect yesterday. As Congressman Van Orden said, he introduced a bill, but introducing a bill doesn't stop these things from going in place. The Waters of the USA rule took effect yesterday in 48 states, but not in Texas or Idaho. That's because a federal judge in Texas upheld a lawsuit by Texas and Idaho, but denied a second lawsuit that argued the EPA and the Army Corps of Engineers should wait to implement the law until a case titled Sackett versus the EPA is heard by the U.S. Supreme Court. And that decision is expected sometime this summer. So again, yesterday, Waters of the USA took effect. And today, on a brighter note, today is the 50th anniversary of National Agriculture Day. Observances will be held all over the country, with the main event being later this morning in Washington, D.C., at their headquarters of the U.S. Department of Agriculture. Now, the day was first observed to recognize and celebrate the abundance we have in this country and thank our farmers and their ability to produce for both our country and our world. And it's becoming more important as every generation now getting further and further away from their roots in agriculture. And the idea of national agriculture is that every American should understand how food, fiber, and renewable products are produced, value the essential role of agriculture in maintaining a strong economy, appreciate the role agriculture plays in providing safe, abundant, and affordable products, mainly food, but a lot of other things as well. Also acknowledge and consider career opportunities in the agriculture, food, fiber, and renewable resources industries. So again, we try to salute our farmers and thank our farmers every day. We don't say it in so many words, but we're here. And again, thank you to all our farmers for all the good things they do to make our part of the world so much better. All right, coming up, we're going to get an update. Our Pam Yonke is going to join us, talking to Dr. Pam Zabel about some of the things going on in the hog industry, African swine fever, and other things. We'll do that next, right here on Wax.
Agriculture. It's a Wisconsin way of life. Wax 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
If you own livestock, if you've got poultry, you have to be on guard every day. Something always trying to infect your herd, infect your flock. I'm Pam Yonke from the southern end of the world's longest barn in Madison. You know, just recently, the Wisconsin Department of Agriculture reminding poultry owners to make sure their biosecurity plan is in play so that they can fight against avian influenza. Of course, Brazil just announcing recently they had two positive cases of BSE, bovine spongiform encephalopathy, in their cattle herd. That cost them international markets immediately. And of course, then there's our pork producers continuing to try to protect themselves and our borders against African swine fever. I talked about that with Dr. Pam Zabel. She's a veterinarian. She's also director of the Swine Health Production Team for the National Pork Producers Council. And she said recently they got a big scare when African swine fever landed not too far from the United States.
As we've watched African swine fever march across to Eastern Europe and then in 2018 infect China and watch how it spread throughout Asia, now we have it knocking on our door on the island of Hispaniola in the Dominican Republic and Haiti. We're very concerned about it making its way to the United States. But we've also always been concerned about classical swine fever, too. So foot and mouth disease, classical swine fever, and African swine fever are three of the bigger diseases that we really worry about because they're all trade limiting diseases. They would all affect our exports if they ever infected animals in the United States.
Right. Now, let's talk a little bit about how quickly African swine fever moves. I guess for a lot of people, they shouldn't be surprised. These organisms, these traits, they can move pretty fast. What do we know about how fast African swine fever has been able to clip across the globe?
We know that African swine fever is one of the hardier viruses, and that's part of the problem, is that it can live in different meat products for a period of time and then be infectious to animals. It's not a public health or human concern as far as people go, but we worry about infecting animals. And people are the main reason that it spreads. We carry it when people travel. Sometimes there's folks that travel internationally that take products that they well-intended, maybe they want to share with friends or family, that sort of thing, but it's a danger to animal agriculture. And so we have a lot of great folks, especially in like customs and border protection and so on, that help protect animal agriculture in the United States.
Let's talk about that a little more. I don't know that people necessarily connect an on-farm biosecurity threat with LaGuardia or Miami or Customs and Border Patrol, but you said in many regards, African swine fever might have literally been on our borders already.
So when we think of prevention of African swine fever, of infecting that first animal in the United States, we have the opportunity to stop it from coming into the country, from coming onto the farm and coming into the animal areas. So we have different areas that we can use risk mitigation to stop the virus from entering. And what our first level of protection, again, is customs and border protection. And those Beagle teams are so valuable to the industry to help signal some of those meat products and other products that are there to help protect agriculture too, other agricultural entities. But they help, pick up those in the passenger luggage mm-hmm. going through the airports. And that's a huge plus for the industry. Yeah. And the quote that it could have already been at our borders came from someone within Customs and Border Protection. For products that are confiscated in the airports, they are incinerated and destroyed. So they are no longer a threat to U.S. agriculture. In some countries, they test those products for diseases. And they have found in some other countries that items that have been confiscated in those countries that they've tested have tested positive for foot and mouth disease and African swine fever. So we know it can be carried through those items that people are bringing in their luggage with them when they travel.
Now, so many of us are accustomed to travel. Your custom and border patrol folks are telling you where they see kind of leaky arteries, they worry will be the first line of access.
Several years ago, we funded a project with the University of Minnesota looking at where some of our biggest threats were. And that was, since it was introduced into China, but has not been reassessed since it's made its way into the island Hispaniola. But at that time, they looked at which airports created the greatest risk from where the flights were originating from and from those countries. And it makes sense, right? Yeah. The countries that have African swine fever, foot and mouth disease, people coming from those countries and whichever flights that those go through certain airports, those would be where the greatest risk would
be. Yeah, it's pretty incredible, especially when you look at them in the United States. Now, let's talk about this globally. Has anybody come up with good answers? I know at one time producers were exceptionally had trepidation about their feed sources. It was about movement of product. Everybody had a theory about how African swine fever was moving around. Anybody in the impacted areas been able to come up with some answers for us, doctor? Or are we still babes in the wood walking as far as trying to find knowledge?
We funded a project a few years ago that looked at, do we know all the risks out there? Have we identified all of them? And, you know, because a few years ago, without the research that so many people have been working on in the area of feed, it wasn't on our radar. And so this project, the report showed us that at this point, they feel we've identified the areas of risk. We just need to keep focusing on them and doing a better job of making sure that we mitigate those areas.
Okay, so we mentioned it's not just at the border. There are three different lines that we have to be aware of. Have producers sounded the warning? I mean, pork producers are not solely responsible for this biosecurity effort, but how is the pork industry doing developing systems, developing mechanisms, modes of communication to try to react quickly if something's breached?
Well, and one thing that we've done is we continue to fund more research. Looking at a vaccine, we don't currently have a vaccine approved for use in the United States, even in the event of an outbreak. So we continue to fund vaccine research. We continue to look at different disinfectants. And are they effective on different surfaces against African swine fever? So that we know there are some identified, but are there more out there that would be effective for us to use? And so we continue to fund that. We develop programs like there's the Secure Pork Supply Plan, which has a biosecurity template for producers to use to write a site-specific biosecurity plan, able to control what they can on the farm, implement what they can now, implement it over time. The more they can implement prior to an outbreak, the more it'll help them against endemic diseases and keeping those diseases off their farm.
You know, doctor, this is fantastic information, especially if I'm a pork producer that's aware of this. Let's take it a little bit farther. In 2022, it was African swine fever. It was avian influenza. Suddenly, consumers are being confronted with more information than ever about the fragile food system that we all work in. What do other areas of animal agriculture have that can be shared? What do consumers need to understand about the vigilance today's animal agriculture is having just on making sure that they can get product?
Many times when we develop our communication streams, we work with the other members of the barnyard. Yep. And it's very important, especially when we talk about FMD, where other species, cattle, sheep, goats, so on, are also affected. So it's very important that we develop those communication lines all together and are sharing that unified voice. And then also at the Pork Board, we develop consumer communications, and we test those. So if this is the consumer messaging that we have, we do test those to understand if it's the right communication tool to the consumers to help make sure that they understand in these situations that it is not a human health concern, and that that we when if we need to react to one of these diseases, that they see that our the actions that we take are trying to prevent spread to protect other animals.
And again, that's Dr. Pam Zabel, and she's again a veterinarian. Visiting with our Pam Yonke, Director of Swine Health Production at the National Pork Producers. So on top of it all the time. So is Rocky over at Premier Livestock. We'll talk about what's going on at the barn. They got a busy week coming up.
The first voice of agriculture in Wisconsin for over 35 years. Wax 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
Well, it's about 29 minutes before 6 o'clock already. A busy Tuesday morning here at Wax. Let's get over to Premier Livestock and Withy and visit with Rocky. Morning, Rocky.
Morning.
Well, the markets are staying hot. The weather is warming up. You got all kinds of machinery. You're a busy man this week. Get us started on the markets first.
Thank you, Bob. Good morning, everyone. This is how yesterday's auction shaped up here at Premier Livestock. We sold over 1,100 head of livestock yesterday. Markets are hot, guys. Very, very strong markets throughout. If you're, like, say, make sure you're getting what your livestock's worth because it is on fire here. Fed cattle sold stronger. High choice and prime Holstein steers sold from $1.42 to $1.59 on the Holsteins. Low choice and selects $130 to $141. choice beef steers and heifers up to 162. Market cows, guys, we got a lot of dairy cows coming in this week. If you guys ain't looked at trading some cows, moving on some of them older cows, you're really missing out. High yielding cows sold from $95 to $1.07. Most cows sold from $81 to $96. You guys replace some of them big heavy cows for probably not a lot of money for some younger cows here. Market bulls, high yielding from $95 all the way up to $1.18. Organic market cows, high yielding from $131 to $157. Outstanding calf market, newborn Holstein bull calves selling mostly from $150 to $270 per head on the Holsteins. Your beef calves from $175 to $490 per head. Today, Tuesday, we'll have our special feeder cattle auction, bred beef cow auction. We're expecting 800 to 1,000 head. Quality is excellent today. Lots of large groups, good vaccination programs. Very impressive lineup for the sale today. Got some really nice beef cows. We'll probably have 75 to 100 beef cows, including a complete beef herd dispersal. If you are bringing bred beef cows for the sale today, they need to be in by 9 o'clock a.m. for preg checks. Full list of consignments on our website. Online bidding is available through Cattle USA. And then tomorrow, Wednesday, we've got a super big dairy sale. We're going to sell 350 head of dairy cattle. We got a 200 cow Holstein parlor freestall herd averaging 83 pounds of milk on test. Many loads of fresh parlor freestall cows. Got another 25 cow tie stall herd, Holsteins and crosses. Here's 40 Holstein spring and heifers coming out of a 30,000 pound herd. A bunch of Jersey fresh cows and spring and heifers. Plus, we got some registered Holstein breeding bulls. We start that auction off tomorrow at 11 o'clock a.m. Don't forget, large farm equipment auction is going to be this Friday. Over 60 tractors sell, plus every other piece of farm equipment you probably could look for. Bring an auction buddy. We'll sell in three rings all day. We're going to have food on site. We're going to start at 9 o'clock in the morning on Friday. So any questions, give us a call. Online bidding, you can go to our website. You can get to the link on there. You can go to equipmentfacts.com. You can start bidding on equipment now, guys. And if you do put a bid on equipment, if you can't make the sale, the computer will remind you as that auction's coming up in the sale order. We should have sale order set today. Note, if you're looking for an item, there's two online rings. So if you don't see in one, it's going to be in the other. So check that out. That will be the order of the sale. So that's the way things are shaping up, Bob.
You're fired up, buddy.
Yeah, things are good right now. There's no doubting about that as far as the cattle market goes.
Yeah, hopefully the used equipment market will be the same.
That's right.
All right. Well, take a breath, and we'll talk to you in the morning.
Hey, thanks a lot, Bob.
There he goes. That's Rocky over there at Premier Livestock in Withy. Let's find out if Mike Dandry is excited about the weather as Rocky is about the cattle market. Mike over there at Sky Warren 13 again with our weather brought to you by Northside Elevator. Well, he's got that big outdoor machinery sale on Friday. Looks like all this week, not too bad weather-wise.
You know, it's going to be hard to match Rocky's excitement there, but I will...
Do what you can.
Yeah. I tell you what, I'll maybe tone it down just for the next couple of days, because for today we'll have, well, just a mainly cloudy sky and temperatures into the low 40s. So similar temperature-wise to yesterday. Maybe a few chances at some snow showers late this morning and early afternoon, but with some dry air, not really expecting most of that, if any of it, really, to reach the ground. Another round of precipitation moves in tonight. If you're Eau Claire or to the south, likely seeing more in the way of rain. Further towards the north, though, some snow can fall out of that and maybe even lead to an inch or two of accumulation of a wet, heavier snow by daybreak tomorrow morning. Otherwise, we'll have a few chances at some showers early tomorrow morning, but then they fizzle out and give way to a mainly cloudy sky with low 40s on tap for tomorrow. Another chance of rain through the overnight and into Thursday, but still temperatures mostly into the upper 20s for our overnight lows and upper 30s and low 40s for our highs on Thursday. Then Friday, we start to see the return of sunshine, and we're back into the mid-40s and even some upper 40s on Saturday, partly sunny. Sunday does bring just a very slim chance at some precipitation, but still warming up, partly sunny, upper 40s. And for Monday, partly sunny and mid-40s for the highs. Right now, some clouds have rolled in and a temperature of 25 in Eau Claire with a wind chill of 16 degrees.
No, we still got to use the wind chill, even though we're into spring.
Yeah, unfortunately, that is the case. And, well, yesterday, though, it definitely felt like spring when I went outside for a walk and just enjoyed the sunshine.
Yeah, we appreciate it this time of the year, don't we?
Oh, yes, we do.
And hopefully we got something to appreciate. Thanks, Mike. We'll talk to you later.
All right, Bob. You have a good one.
There he goes. That's Mike D'Andrea taking a look at our weather and our markets, weather, news, all on WAC.
WAC 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
Well, let's get into more stuff, as they say at Northside Elevator, the way they spread it over there. We go in the newsroom, we can spread it pretty good around here with Morgan McCarthy. How are you, my dear?
Well, I think one of us is better than the other. One of us supplies the material, and then one of us does the work when it comes to spreading, right, Bob?
Yeah, I guess so, so I'll let you do the work.
All right, from the 715 newsroom, we're going to start with headlines that do stretch the lens across our state. Good morning. Well, here's what we're learning today. Two people found dead in Winnebago County, but they're now at the center of a suspicious death investigation as they were both well-known cheesemakers. 715 newsroom coverage with John DeMaster and more in this case.
Authorities yesterday identified the two as 72-year-old David Metzig and 71-year-old Jan Metzig. Nobody's saying how they died. The Winnebago County Sheriff's Office found them dead in their home Saturday morning. A person of interest is in custody but hasn't been formally charged yet. The Metzigs own the Union Star Cheese Factory and were well-known across the state for their cheese. I'm John DeMaster.
The only debate for Wisconsin's nationally watched race for Supreme Court will come during the lunch hour today. If you want to take your lunch with a side of Supreme Court action, liberal Judge Janet Protasiewicz debates conservative former Justice Dan Kelly at 12:45 this afternoon. Now, the debate is sponsored by the State Bar of Wisconsin and a Madison TV station. Wisconsin's race being closely watched across the union and, in fact, has become the most expensive race for the court in U.S. history. Well, you can drive through at City Hall if you saw the setup. Clerks there letting you know that it's a drive-through early voting in Eau Claire. You can drive through and cast that ballot in the parking lot at City Hall. Drive-through voting is open for you 9 to 4. You could also register if need be. And you can find more information online with an easy click first at 715newsroom.com. Well, the latest plans to get tougher on reckless driving in Wisconsin take a step forward as we put it in drive and take it to the Capitol. Wisconsin Senate set to vote on a couple of pieces of legislation aimed at repeat reckless drivers. A couple of examples. One of those would double fines for reckless driving. Another would allow cities and towns to seize cars from reckless drivers who don't pay fines and tickets. The plans are written by Republicans. There's hope at the Capitol that they will be signed by the governor and eventually make it to his desk. Well, it seems Mother Nature is going to do what she wants. We kind of know that. And that damp winter could lead to some flooding this spring. But National Weather Service meteorologist Mike Stiletta here says Wisconsin actually saw one of the wettest winters on record, and the moisture isn't going away anytime soon.
We're going to have a lot of saturated soils as the snow melts and the ground thaws. Rivers are going to be running high with fast flows.
And he went on to say the moisture is actually a good contrast to several of the dry winters we've seen. And on that note, another sign of spring, not just on the calendar yesterday, but I see some orange barrels out on I-94 on our commute in as well. So here we go again, getting to be that season. We headed back to the barn where we're going to need plenty of construction cones to see what kind of wreckage Bob's up to. With Bob Bosold and your Midwest Farm Report on WAC 104.5.
You know, I was down in Madison over the weekend and coming back, I thought, well, I'm going to keep track now and watch and see where the snow line ends. And, you know, it's getting pretty far north now between Tolma and Black River Falls. It's starting to, you know, it's not a lot of snow left.
And we were noticing that, too, even just on the drive into Eau Claire. I swear all of the snow is concentrated on the north side of my yard, and it doesn't seem to be going anywhere anytime soon.
That's always the last side to melt.
It's going to be a slow one this year, I think. We got some pretty high piles.
But I don't think we should have much flooding. As he said, it should soak in because the ground isn't frozen.
And if we get these moderate temps, that's the nice way to... My driveway's muddy enough the way it is. I don't need kids and dogs dragging it into my house.
There you go. That's part of the ritual of spring in Wisconsin.
It sure is.
Thanks, Morgan.
Anytime, Bob.
Morgan McCarthy in the newsroom this morning as we're about 18 minutes before 6 o'clock. And we're going to take a look at more farm news. We've got some calendar items. March 31st. I think everything happens by March 31st.
For those who work in acres, not in hours, WAC 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
And take a look at more of the news in agriculture. Again, if you're just rolling out and you don't know it, today is the 50th anniversary of National Agriculture Day. Observances will be held all over the country with the main event being later this morning at the USDA's headquarters in Washington. The day was first observed, as we said, 50 years ago, to recognize and celebrate the abundance we have in this country, thanks to our farmers and their ability to produce for both our country and our world. It's becoming more important, of course, as every generation now getting further and further away from their farming roots. So again, thank you to all of our farming friends out there for what you do, getting up and doing the chores here at the shank of the day, baby. Well, a Minnesota meat processor is being taken to court over its hiring practices. State of Minnesota has asked a district court to issue a temporary restraining order against Tony Down Foods of Mankato. In the DTN article, the state alleges the company employed kids as young as 13 to do hazardous jobs in the plant, like operating meat grinders on the overnight shift, and also had kids working longer hours than allowed by law. Investigators also found at least 8 underage workers at the company's plant in Medelia. Labor Department investigators also found that Tony Down's managers were aware of the situation. In February, milk production across Wisconsin and across the country up slightly in February. In Wisconsin, production reached 2.45 billion pounds, up from 2.43 billion a year ago. And while the number of cows was down slightly in February across the state, production per cow was up 10 pounds to 1,925 pounds per cow. Nationally, milk production reached 16.9 billion pounds last month. That's in the top 24 milk-producing states. When the rest of the states are figured in here, it goes to about 17.7, so not a lot more. And that production nationally up 1% from February. Herd size was also up by 54,000 head last month across the country. Production per cow is up 7 pounds per animal to 1,892 pounds. California, still the largest milk producer with 3.3 billion pounds last month, but that was down 1% from a year ago. Texas, now the third leading milk-producing state, followed by Idaho and New York. And we mentioned March 31st, a very important date for a lot of things. Nomination period for Dairy Farmers of Wisconsin Board of Directors. March 31st is the deadline. In our area, that means District 1, Ashland, Bayfield, Burnett, Douglas, Iron, Rust, Sawyer, and Washburn counties. District 4, Barron and Polk counties. District 7, Clark County. District 13, Buffalo, Pepin, and Pierce counties. Also, nomination period is open for the Wisconsin Potato Industry Board elections. March 31st is the deadline for that. And districts 1, 2, and 3, and I won't go through all that because we've got counties in all three of those districts where if you want to nominate someone for the Potato Industry Board, again, Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection takes care of all this stuff. And again, three seats are open. March 31st, the deadline for the Potato Board. The Ginseng Board of Wisconsin elections. Nominations are due March 31st for three seats on the Ginseng Board of Directors. Also, the Farm to School Advisory Council nominations are also open until March 31st at the Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. DATCAP is also recruiting students for the next Agriculture Youth Council. High school students who will be seniors during the 2023-2024 school year should apply now to be on that council. They're looking for 15 members March 31st. Again, the deadline for our young people to apply for that. Also, the department is accepting applications for Buy Local, Buy Wisconsin grants through March 31st. Applications are available up to $200,000. And again, March 31st, Department of Agriculture, Trade, and Consumer Protection. So again, if you're involved in any of those organizations or more than one, whatever the case may be, March 31st is a very, very important deadline to get that done. Get your nominations in.
The crack of dawn never sounded so good. Wax 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
About 11 minutes before 6 o'clock already here at Wax. 25 degrees. We'll get about 40 today and there's some precipitation. It'll be a breezy day again today. We're getting used to that wind, aren't we? Let's see what happened at the sale barn at Sparta yesterday at the Equity Barn. Let's find out from the boss.
Fed cattle selling steady today with the Highland Choice beef steers and heifers bringing 162 to 170. Choice and select beef steers and heifers 151 to 161. The beef and dairy cross steers 145 to 160. The Highland Choice Holstein steers 142 to 150. Choice and select Holstein steers 131 to 141 with the unfinished steers. Heifers and heavy steers 130 and down. Cow market steady to stronger with the Highland cows bringing 85 to $1, topping at $1.06. Cutters and utilities 69 to 84 with a low yielding and canter cow 68 and down. Organic market today with results from the March 20th sale with most organic cows bringing 145 to 165, topping at 169. The thin and small organic cows 114 to 139 with the organic steers and heifers 150 to 170, topping at 176. Bull market steady with most bulls bringing 95 to 110 with a thin full and bulls over a ton discount at 94 and down. Calves today sold by the pound with a steady market with the quality Holstein bull calves bringing 150 to 250. The quality Holstein heifer calves 30 cents to $1. The quality beef bulls 260 to 410. The quality beef heifers $2 to 350 with the light and poor quality calves 10 to 60 cents per pound. Just a reminder, our next sale will be Wednesday, March 22nd, starting at 10 a.m. with fed cattle, followed by bulls, cows, and calves. This is Hut Amon at Equity Lives in Sparta with this marketing update, and we thank you for your business.
Wax 104.5 and the Midwest Farm Report.
Well, let's get over to the Equity Stratford Sale Barn and talk to Jerry Fitzgerald. Well, I suppose you're still pretty tired from signing autographs and kissing babies and taking pictures at the annual meeting last Friday?
No.
Huh?
No, I'm not tired. I'm well rested.
Oh, but you got the job done.
Yeah, we had a nice meeting and good to talk to the folks. And, very interesting these meetings are. The only, despite the horrible weather we had Friday, a nice turnout. So,
good.
I guess, yep. And it's, but now we're talking about different weather. We got a little breeze this morning, but, my understanding is that you have, put your snowblower away for the winter.
Oh, I've still got it handy. No way I'm putting my, I've been born and raised here. What do you think? I'm nuts putting it away before the tax day? No way. No way. I've still got her handy, and I've got gas to get in it if I need it, but hopefully I won't. But these markets are pretty good.
Markets are very good. Why don't we tell the folks about that? Bob, thank you, and a good morning to everyone. A summary from yesterday, Monday, here at Equity Stratford. And again, cow market continues to be very strong, very good demand on these cull cows, very good time to be selling cows right now. Yielding fleshy Holstein cows on yesterday's auction, selling from 92 up to a top of $1.01. Most of the cows yesterday's auction selling between 70 and 91, and thinner cows like carcass cows, those are below $70 money. On the bull trade yesterday, most bulls are selling between 95 and $1.12, lighter weight bulls below 95. Calf market continues to be very, very strong. Good quality 9,230-pound Holstein bull calves yesterday's auction selling from 125 to 275. Fancy bull calves from 275 to a top of 295. Heifer calves, a little better demand yesterday, mostly 30 to 80. Still not real fantastic on these heifers, but bull calves and beef calves very strong. And mentioning the beef calves, good quality beef calves yesterday selling from 200 to 475. Fancy beef bull calves yesterday, 475, all the way up to $500 for these little calves. And a busy Tuesday here in Stratford. We got underway this morning at 10 o'clock. We've got the hay and bedding auction, folks. We got a lot of hay today. If you're looking for round bales, we got a lot of round bales today. First crop, second crop, third crop, whatever you're looking for there. So we'll have that at 10 o'clock. 11 o'clock, we move into the dairy auction today. Again, if you're looking for some very nice dairy cattle, we have a complete herd dispersal today. These are going to be mostly Holstein cows. There will be several Jersey crosses in there. Tystall milk cows, and very good components on these cows. Current herd average is 75 pounds per cow, 4.2 butterfat, a very low 110 somatic. Majority are all AI bred to black Angus bulls. And like I just said, folks, you know what these black Angus calves are worth. So, again, a very nice herd of cows today. That will be at 11 o'clock. Following the dairy auction today, we'll have the market auction, and do keep in mind that we do sell organic market cows along with the conventional market cows here on Tuesday at Stratford. Also, as part of the dairy sale today, I don't want to forget, we do have a consignment of Holstein springing heifers, so if you folks are looking for some heifers, we'll have those also. Tomorrow, busy day, including the feeder cattle sale, and part of that feeder sale, we do have a consignment of Hereford beef cows for that sale tomorrow. Most of those are all going to be bred, also along with some a good run of feeder cattle. So more to say about that tomorrow. But, Bob, a busy day here in Stratford, and I know you are busy here this morning too, man. We're 5 to 6 already, so we better send her back to you. Enjoy the day, and we should have no problems about weather today.
Nope, we should be able to travel just fine. Thanks, Jerry. Jerry Fitzgerald at the Equity Stratford Barn. Animal Markets brought to you by Synergy Co-op at Ridgeland. Board of trade mix yesterday, corn down, financial market concerns. Beans were higher on those China sales and some strength in the oil markets. Overnight, July corn unchanged at 6.15 a bushel. Oats up 3 at 3.56. The wheat up a fraction at 7.09. And soybeans for July down a penny, 14.65. Meal up 30 cents a ton at $456. Country elevator prices, Northside elevator at Loyal, corn $5.89 today, beans $14.21 in Arcadia, $6 on the corn, $14.31 on the soybeans, wheat and grain, Chippewa Falls, corn $5.79 at both Chippewa Falls and Connersville, soybeans $14.27 in Chippewa Falls, $14.22 at Connersville. On the DTN screen, corn at Golden Plump, Arcadia today, $6. At Baldwin, 587, beans 1423, Durand 581 and 1418. Mondovi and Elmwood both have corn at 587. Beans at Mondovi, 1423, Elmwood 1428. Fall Creek, 572 and 1398. At Osseo, the corn, 592, beans 1428. Elk Mound, 588 on the corn, 1424 on the beans. Sparta, 587 and 1432. Ellsworth, 562 and 1378. Ethanol plants, $6 a bushel for corn at Boyceville, $5.91 at Stanley, New Richmond Grain Facility, $5.81. Barrel and block cheese, both down three quarters yesterday. Barrels, $1.95 and a quarter. Blocks, $1.99. Butter up a penny at $2.41. March Class 3 down 2 at $18.05. April down 15 at $19.02. May down 35 at $18.51. June down 36 at $18.64. And July down 29 at 1903. Again, 25 right now. We'll get about 40 today. Further south you go, warmer it's going to get. Madison, Milwaukee, they're going to be well, it should be 52, 53. Enjoy it. It's springtime in Wisconsin.
You've been listening to the Midwest Farm Report, available at waxradio.com in its entirety every day. Brought to you in part by Bluff Country Feed and Seed in Mondovi and the Chilson family of Ram dealerships, Chippewa Falls and Kadok. On-demand content at waxradio.com.